Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, today with me I have Dan Miller. He is an author of 48 Days to the Work You Love and No More Mondays, and he just celebrated his 50th anniversary.
That's a random thought there, isn't it? Probably not a whole lot of your guests hit that milestone.
It's not, but it's true, right? It just happened.
Absolutely. It's true. Just happened.
And it just happened on the cruise too.
Just went on a 10-day cruise to celebrate. Yep. So we continue to celebrate. That is kind of a milestone. It seems like yesterday when that all started, but here we are. So it's been an amazing and just a wonderful, wonderful journey with an amazing woman that I get to live with.
See, so although you said random thought, I don't think it is. Based on what I'm seeing on your website and all of the life and work balance, you know, going on a 10-day cruise and celebrating things, I don't think that's super random. I think that's actually like what you do and what you teach people.
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, what a privilege to be able to do that, to just be gone. But golly, I was gone. I did not check email. I didn't go in any of the Facebook groups. I didn't access the internet at all. Now it's available, obviously, but we just chose not to do it. So for 10 days, absolutely nothing. And in doing so, you know, I came back and there were these nice continuing deposits in my checking account, and new members have come into groups that I run, and products have been sold and delivered. But, you know, so there's some simple systems in place to give a little entrepreneur like me the freedom to do that kind of thing and not have to worry about it. It's not like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm depleting assets while we're gone. No, I was making money just as usual. It didn't really make much difference. But I happened to be on a big ship for 10 days.
Yeah, that's the two different mind shifts that I'm seeing a lot in the world right now. One of them is for people like us is to start taking these digital detoxes, right? Just completely unplug, which is super hard to do. You know, that's the one what I'm seeing a lot. And the second one is to be able to get these income streams. And some people say, you know, you should have at least 6 or 7 so that when you're on vacation, you actually make more money than you're spending. And that's how you know you made it.
Boy, that's a great barometer right there. Make more money than what you're spending. Absolutely. I love that. I love the opportunities that we have available to make that happen.
The other side of this, though, you know, because when I hear work-life balance, like I love the idea, and I especially like it when someone's just working at a regular job. But in my experience, if you're building something, you will be out of balance for a while. Like you have to be out of balance to really build something, especially if you want to do it fast. Like there's just no way, at least from what I've seen, to be able to do both, you know, just all the time. Like when you have things set up, yeah, it's super easy. It's like when Tim Ferriss wrote that book, The 4-Hour Workweek, and he sold his business, had a lot of money, and he's talking about barely working. Yeah, sure, you know. But he forgot to mention the part where he made the first million.
You think maybe that took a little more time. Yeah, I laugh about that because I have no desire to get to a 4-hour work week. I don't want, you know, 182 hours a week where I don't have any focus to what I do. That's not a goal of mine at all. I mean, I work a lot of hours because I so enjoy the things that I get to do. And I want to continue that. I mean, I have no desire to work toward what Americans usually call retirement. You know, meaning, gee, I can just look at my navel and drool in my belly for all day long. I mean, that's not a desirable goal for me at all. So I continue to work a lot. When you talk about balance, I mean, it's kind of tough to put that in perspective because it kind of implies, well, if I spend, you know, 20 hours working, then I need to spend 20 hours playing or just spending time with my wife and kids. I'm more interested in harmony and the components of things that I do, but I still, I mean, a good week for me, I'm going to work 50 hours. That's really feels good to me. And to me, that still allows me time to do the other things that are important in my life.
So what is your pitch usually to your clients? Because I'm curious now, when you say, you know, still working 50 hours a week, for a lot of Americans, that's a pitch that they're going to pass on.
Yep. And I'm going to tell them, if you're doing something that really is that convergence of the three-legged stool, passion, talent, and money, if you're doing that, you're not looking for excuses to spend less time doing it. I mean, I have to, you know, purposely close the door at 6:30 at night and walk out of here because given my own urgings, I just stay here. When my wife is out of town, you know, she goes on girl trips and stuff. She's out of town, man, I just keep working because I enjoy that more than anything else. I don't want to, you know, go to a movie and sit there. Now, when I talk about working, though, Tom, I mean, it includes things like reading great books and reading, you know, the greatest business magazines that there are out there. It includes things like that. So if I'm sitting out here on the front porch of my office area here, and I'm reading, you know, Sean Aker's new book, Big Potential, you know, am I working or am I playing? Well, you know, that's something I would do just for my own personal growth. But it's also something that has direct application in the things that I continue to do in business. I don't see it as a hardship. I love doing that. On the weekend, all I do is increase the speed at which I'm reading books because I unplug from some of the day-to-day things that I'm doing, and I just immerse myself even more in books. That's all part of this blend of work and play where it's pretty indistinguishable.
What would you say your day looks like then when you think of the different things you would be doing, right? Like taking phone calls or planning your business and actually doing the administrative work, reading the books. I'm curious how you set this up because you're teaching this system to people, right?
Yes, but the system becomes very individualized. I mean, it's not a cookie cutter plan. I don't expect people to have the same plan that I do. I'm pretty introverted, so I'm energized by solitude. I mean, a perfect day for me is when I'm back here at the building on our property that we call the Sanctuary. It's an old converted barn. The perfect day to me is when I'm here and nobody ever darkens the door, you know, and it's just me. We're assimilating content and then writing things, you know, communicating. But that's not going to be desirable for a lot of people. A lot of people would really be bored with the life that I lead, because they need more people engagement. So it becomes very personalized. But now what it looks like for me is this. On Mondays, I have all business meetings. You know, with my team, we start off at 8:00 in the morning. So anything having to do with business, I handle that on Monday. Tuesday is when I have group coaching calls. I have a mastermind call. We have our coaching mastery call. And any personal clients that I'm working with, those are on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, I do my podcast. Wednesday afternoon, I'm available for interviews. Thursday and Friday, those days are what I call deep work. Those days, I don't schedule appointments. Those are days when I work on major projects like manuscripts or new course content. That's what I'm doing on Thursday, Friday. So I'm not overburdened. I don't have, you know, I don't have 20 meetings during a week. I may have 3 or 4, and that's it. And I schedule those at the beginning of the week, and it's really like eating your meal so you can get to the dessert, because I feel that way. My favorite days are Thursday, Friday, the days I have reserved for deep work.
Yeah, it's actually really good. I've done something similar, but I do buffers, right? So between my creative work and my deep work, I usually have an administrative day, you know, just to sort of, you know, because that's the stuff you just got to handle, you know, but it's not really important stuff half the time. It's just stuff you just need to do. So, you know, it's not creative. It's not deep. It's just things that happen. And I don't like those to spill over into my creative or working days.
Yeah. No, my working space is pretty fluid as well. Again, working where I work, I mean, I'm right next to a window. There's a little waterfall outside. You know, there are bunny rabbits running around, and there's bird feeders that I fill every day. So, you know, I may intersperse a given three-hour period with three periods of time where I'm outside, walk down the long lane to get the mail, go talk to one of the neighbors, or get on my little tractor and work on a little landscaping project I got going all the time. So, you know, there's, again, it's a combination of things that I enjoy. There's really nothing in my week that I don't enjoy. I mean, I'm old enough and cantankerous enough, I suppose, at this point that I've just eliminated anything that I don't enjoy. So it's just a continuing process of, you know, doing things that are meaningful and fulfilling.
Yeah, I think having a good routine is the best thing you can do, as long as you focus on the right stuff. You know, that's like the two things, you know, having the right habits and routines and then the right focus. Because you can focus on some garbage and then, you know, the best routines won't save you.
Absolutely.
How big is your team?
I have three key people who I depend on a lot, and then four others who are integral parts of like those Monday meetings that we had. So there's seven in addition to me. Now, there's I don't have any employees. Those are all independent contractors. And none of them, well, one of them, I'm really her only client. But for the most part, you know, I'm one of a couple clients that those people have.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And so it's real small, streamlined. I have no desire to grow, you know, where I have 30 employees to come in and have to deal with, you know, staff meetings. Not my cup of tea at all.
So when I looked on your website, I don't see super clear funnels. I do see that you have an online community, right? Which that's always great. Like I have a company that works, you know, on building those and marketing them. So Can you kind of walk us through your funnel and how did you set up your income streams?
Yeah, the things I have in place right now, one, you mentioned the online community, 48 Days Eagles. And that's just, I create an umbrella. But like when I was gone, again, that's a very active, vibrant community. People pay at $36 a month membership fee to be in that. We're at about 1,000 members in that. And that's just pretty well, I mean, new people come in every day, but it's pretty self-maintaining. I have people who are natural leaders in there. They're not paid, but they just take leadership and make things happen. So I've got that. Then I've got a personal mastermind. I have 40 people in that. They pay $500 a month. And that's totally, you don't see anything in my website about that at all. There's nothing I do. I've never promoted that. That's strictly just by invitation, perhaps somebody that I worked with as an individual client, somebody who has a significant level of achievement, you know, they're invited into that. But it's totally under the radar, so you don't see anything about that at all. We have a coaching mastery program where we train people how to be coaches. And we have a lot of the things on our website are lead magnets that lead people toward that. If they want to be a coach, we can help position them as a coach, a very profitable coach. So with Coaching Mastery Program, we bring 40 people a year into that, and it's $5,300 for that. So that's another income stream that I have. But again, it's not something like we're out here marketing that to millions of people. You know, all we want is 40 people a year. And just by virtue of the books that I write and other things, you know, blogs and guest posts and podcasts like this, I mean, we get, you know, plenty of people applying to be in that. So those are the primary things. And then I'm always writing new content as well. I mean, I'm working on another book. I mean, I've had, you know, it's pretty good success with books, 48 Days to the Work You Love, No More Dreaded Mondays, Wisdom Meets Passion, Runner of the Day. And I write about this ongoing challenge of finding work that matters and finding what you're gifted to do and then how to turn that into meaningful, profitable work. So those are the things, but I'm not somebody who's, you know, trying to build, you know, 500,000 people on Facebook. I mean, my only activity on Facebook is in two closed groups. That's it. I'm not out there on Facebook. You don't see anything from me out there. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on LinkedIn. I mean, I've got things positioned pretty well to just maintain the way I want them to be. And I'm not somebody who's trying to, you know, dominate the world by having a million people as Twitter followers.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary. It seems very solid. I'm still curious about how you actually push people through these funnels. So the basic one would be the $36 online community. That's monthly, right?
Yes, that's monthly. That's a very low, easy entry point.
And how do you sell that? Is it just from a landing page, or are you doing webinars? How do you push people into that one?
I mention it on my podcast routinely. I mean, and I have a weekly newsletter that we send out. I mean, I started a newsletter back in August of 2000, doing a weekly newsletter, just career tips, how to find your purpose and passion, move ahead. So I started that in August of 2000. I've never missed a week. Wow. So that's been going out, and I have people on there, you know, who have been getting that for 10 years. And we have about 80,000 at any given time, you know, active, double opt-in, clean email people that we're communicating with. So, and we don't push them really, but we let them know, here's another way to be a little more engaged if you want to do that. So that's a constant feeder for things like the 48 Days Eagles group. I know there's a lot of things out there, Tom, where, you know, they say, you know, you should never waste your time doing a blog or any kind of a post at all unless there's a call to action. I just don't do that. I'm not an analytics guy. I don't track a lot of numbers. Even Tim Ferriss, you know, I've heard him say the best SEO is great content. So I just do things that I think will provide value to people. And I'm in this for the long game. If I have people who, you know, have been listening to my podcast for 10 years and have never spent a penny with me, and then all of a sudden they show up and they enroll in like our $5,300 coaching mastery package. It happens all the time. So I have people who have been at the fringes in getting content from me for a very long time. I'm not one of these guys, you know, going to blast in the scene and do a big product launch in the first 30 days. That's all that matters. Even with my publishers, you know, the last book I published, you know, the publisher said, well, you know, we'll set up there are like 30 book signings for you at bookstores and stuff. And I said, well, you know, you can set those up, but I won't be there, you know, so have a nice time without me. And they're like, what are you talking about? I says, I'm not interested in those things. They don't work. You know, it's just, you know, to pat yourself on the back and doing it. I said, I'm more interested in where my book is going to be 3 years from now than what I am in the first 30 days. Now, that's even contrary to the way publishers think, because, you know, they're going to push a book for about 90 days and then you're lost, your history to them. They're on to the next one. That's okay. You know, when I write a book, I don't expect the publisher to do anything. That way I'm never disappointed. But it continues to feed into my own audience, and we nurture those relationships. So the books are like fancy business cards, and everything in my books then also gently lead people back to the things that I've mentioned that we have available. Except for the mastermind. Again, I never talk about that because I don't want that to be something where people are knocking on my door saying, how can I get into that? I have enough of that going on already. And that's not an open-ended group. It's not something I'm trying to scale. It's something I decided to keep, 40 people. That works really well. We have really deep relationships and share life together.
You know, I usually don't say this, but I am a big fan of what you're doing. And I'll tell you why. I'll let the listeners understand, too, some of my thinking here. You've been doing this for a long time. You're flying fairly under the radar when it comes to the online community. You have a super solid system and funnels. It seems like, you know, you're making a comfortable living. Mm-hmm. You're not overworking yourself. You're doing it the way you want. You don't have to do speeches if you don't want to. You don't have to run around and move or hit up conferences. So, yeah, you got the work-life balance. But the main thing here is you can sustain this until the day when you basically pass away.
There you go. That's right. That's right. You know, I have people ask me, you know, gee, you know, when are you going to retire? And I say, I don't even know what that means. I mean, I'm doing now exactly what I want to do. I don't want to change my life. So I guess I'm retired. If it means being able to do what you want to do, I guess I retired a long time ago because this is what I want to be doing. Yeah, the day I die. Tom, you're exactly right.
We usually call it semi-retirement, you know.
Okay.
but I'm just saying, like, I'm a really big fan of this, especially that, you know, you've built solid income streams and have a fairly big audience and you're under the radar. You know, that is something that I really respect.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I see a lot of people running around with, like, chickens with their head cut off, so to speak, being an old farm kid. But, man, I'm just not into that. And, yeah, as far as even, like, speaking at conferences, I speak at about 4 or 5 conferences typically a year. And they're based on who the audience is, not based on what they're going to pay me. I mean, I don't want to increase that and just be living out of hotels and airports. That's not something that is appealing to me at all. But I go to those conferences because of the audience that I get to connect with. And those audiences being people who are candidates for the things that I'm doing.
How do you approach content? You know, you've been doing content for 18 years now. You know, it's got to be at the point where I'm like, I think I've said this at least 5 times already.
Yes. And then that's true. I mean, I love when I see people who have done really well in this space, the old timers like Zig Ziglar and Brian Tracy and Jim Rohn, and then people even like Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see them repurposing content again and again and again. Yeah, there's no question. You know, the same principles I was writing about 20 years ago, there's a lot of similarity in that. A lot of similarity in that. Now, what that means is having done a newsletter, as an example, for almost 18 years now, I have so much content that I can go back and just draw from it. I may do some little tweaks on it, but the success principles are timeless. It's not something that, you know, had to be written in 2018 to be relevant. No, the old masters of achievement, there's so much wisdom back there that we can draw from. So I can continue to not just to use old content. Certainly I want relevant stories, up-to-date anecdotes, tie in with things that are in the news. But you can do that with principles that are pretty timeless.
So you would say you basically repurpose the ideas to a lot. So when new words come in and just, you know, things come into fashion, you sort of just, you know, move your old ideas and be like, oh, let's see how I can redress these now to fit the current themes.
Yeah, but there's also always new approaches. I did a presentation twice just recently on really the power of investing in yourself. I start off with a story that when I was a 13-year-old farm kid in Ohio, I got a hold of the little audio recording, The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. It was the first audio program that ever, you know, sold a million copies.
Right.
It became the foundational product for Nightingale Conant, the big company out of Chicago. Anyway, so I started, you know, that cost $15. In today's dollars, that's $133.18. That was a lot of money when I was a 13-year-old farm kid, you know, washing neighbors' cars to make, you know, a buck here and there. But that really put me on a trajectory that transformed the life that I was destined to live if I had not been exposed to material like that. So I go through how that has compounded over the years and what it, you know, it's led to millions of dollars. And I can trace that pretty directly and other things along the way as well. Because of that, because of the reception, I've never gotten as visceral gut reception from an audience as I did with that presentation. Because of that, I'm now writing a book. I first was going, I presented it to my publisher as a little gift book. Let's just do a little gift book like Simple Truth does, you know, 30 pages or whatever. We'll just make it an attractive little gift book on the power of investing in yourself. The publisher came back right away and they said, huh, this needs to be a full manuscript. This is too important to try to put in a gift book. Man, that's exciting to me. So that's one of the things I have the pleasure of doing right now is creating that new manuscript. And as I am developing that, yeah, I'm drawing on things that happened 50 years ago and examples that I experienced personally, you know, 20 years ago. I have such a long history to draw from to pull content together for things that are relevant right today to give people hope that they can, you know, experience some of the same things. Boy, that's just awesome to be able to do that. So there's content that I'm drawing from that has been around a long time. But to still put that together in a book that engages people and, you know, makes them want to turn the page and go through, that's still a current challenge. That's not something you just, draw on your past. You still have to work on that, make something valuable if people are going to connect with it.
Yeah, there's a big lesson there of finding the right audience. You know, if you've done the presentation and maybe Conversion Excel or Traffic and Conversion Summit, you know, people would be like, But if you did that at the World Domination Summit with all those wannabe lifestyle coaches, they would drool all over themselves. They'll be like, oh, man, this is exactly it.
Yeah, you're so right. Yeah, and I have some of those audiences, like you've mentioned, that are just all over it. So the reception is really predictable. Yeah, I'm not going to go and speak to a group of insurance agents, on that. I mean, I talk to people who I know are already on this path. They've already shown that they are investing in conferences and books and courses. And so this is one more opportunity to confirm what they're doing and then give them a book to show them how to put it all together. Absolutely.
Do you have any podcast episodes where you really walk through this compounding effect? Because that's super interesting. 20 years of constant work. How did that look? Especially since you're just fairly, just regularly working. It's not like, it doesn't seem like you had any really big hits. It's just been like regular, just compounding over time.
You're exactly right. It has been that. I mean, I look for, the long tail. I mean, again, I've experienced that so much. I'm benefiting now from things that I did 20 years ago. I mean, I know that. I mean, it's not just what did I do last week that got people's attention. There's so many seeds that I've planted over the years where the harvest is coming in now. My goodness. Now, do I have a podcast episode that I really I don't know that I could really identify one. It's certainly a continuing theme, but I don't know that I can really identify one where I looked at that specifically. Now, this new book I'm writing really will pretty much go through that, the compound effect, how this led to this, this led to this, and how these things, built exponentially. I mean, I've got things, real examples where I invested, as an example, $1,800 in a course on how to do teleseminars back when those were first becoming popular. $1,800 is a lot of money. Right. Even my own son said, geez, we can figure this out. We don't need to do that. That's how I invest in the best so I can accelerate my own learning curve. Well, the first teleseminar I did, I was hoping to cover the cost and learn a little. Well, not only did I cover the cost and learn a lot, but I also put a clean $18,000 in my bank account that night, a 70-minute presentation. Hmm. Holy moly, I mean, that's a 10 times return. And I've seen that again and again and again. But that only comes from having a history where I can look back and see how the dots connect. And that's what I'm doing right now, having a lot of fun doing that. But just seeing, wow, this led to this. This led to, I went to a Mark Victor Hansen conference, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, learned how to do that, came back, and in the next 18 months, I sold $2 million of a three-ring binder with some content in it. Didn't even have, didn't have a publishing deal or anything. But then that led to a publishing deal, and the publishing deal I got as a result of that was a $300,000 advance. Well, that's pretty rare. But it was because I invested in going to that conference, and that led to just those little tidbits of truth that I needed to be exposed to that opened the door for those things.
Yeah, hindsight's funny like that. What about some of the things that you've done wrong? Because there's got to be some missteps too. I just don't want to have the listeners think like, oh, this is just, all fun and rainbows, because it's not. That's not this podcast. There's always some other truth too, right? Like, can you think of some missteps too that you've done? Some lessons learned.
Here's the way I approach this. When I start something new, I like to think that I've got a 50-50 chance of it working. And what that means is I start a lot of things that don't work well. I mean, I do. But because of how I have my business model put together, I use, in essence, a Venn diagram. It's three circles. So they overlap and it creates seven distinct areas. That means I've got seven distinct areas where I can plug something in. But what that also means is if something doesn't work, it doesn't sink the whole ship. That I recognize that doesn't work. I mean, I had something last year that I launched that I had anticipated it would generate $1.5 million. It probably generated about $30,000. Man, it was so far off. I was blown away at how badly I missed the mark on what I thought that was going to do. And I have a track record. You know, I thought this is a no-brainer. It was a total disaster and just really caused me to, you know, sit back and rock thinking, what in the world happened here? Yeah, I have those things that happen all the time.
Can you explain this diagram just before? Because you said 7 points, just so people can visualize it.
All right, yeah, I wish we could see it. It's three, if you have three circles and draw like, you know, one at the top, two at the bottom, but draw them so they all connect. That means you're going to have one place right in the center where they all have in common. So do it like that. But if you do that, then you'll notice that it develops seven other areas around that. That's the model that I use for my business. But now here's another thing that I do. At the end of every year, I always have my goals laid out for the next year by November 14th. That happens to be 48 days before the new year starts, and it gives me that time then during the holidays just to enjoy it and not have to be, you know, and realizing everything's in place. And also, when you're that clear and intentional about what's going to happen, it's amazing what happens seemingly on its own. It's some kind of magical process. Things just start happening to move you into that new area of success. But in that process, I identify what is the 15% that I've been doing this year that I'm going to discontinue. I'm really ruthless about that. What is it that I'm going to discontinue that I've been doing now? And what that allows me then is a new area of the 15% in which I can try something new. Everything that I've mentioned to you that we talked about today that are my most powerful income streams started by being part of that new 15%. They weren't just kind of evolving from other things I was doing. They were intentionally new things. I mean, a mastermind, I didn't know if that would work. I've been in unpaid masterminds all my life. And I thought, well, will these people that really know and love me already, you know, pay to be part of a mastermind? Well, when I put that notice out, golly, I had my 40 people, I mean, like in 48 hours, it was filled up. But that was a brand new thing. But now here's an example from this last year. We've been doing live events here on my property. So I work out of a converted barn on a property. You know, we did a light remodeling on it. It's got a nice big awning around it, porch area, and then a center area where we can have about 60 people in there, and then guest rooms and kitchen and my office. Well, we've been having events here. The county that I live in, just south of Nashville, Tennessee, saw a news article. There was an article, a reporter came out and did an article on, you know, my success and how things have gone, this beautiful place we've got out here where we have conferences and stuff on our property. And it was on the front page of the Nashville, Tennessee, and on a Sunday, front page of the business section. Well, somebody saw that and said, oh, that is not according to zoning for this area. Now, it's really stupid, but it's one of those things. They came out, you know, with their beer bellies and clipboards and totally shut me down. I cannot have live events here. Well, instead of, you know, just being all upset, I immediately, you know, asked myself, okay, gee, what does this make possible? Now, that was a pretty significant income stream. We usually had 7 events here a year. We capped those typically at 48 people, but roughly 50 people. So what we had is $1,000 a piece. Now, you can do the math on that. That's a pretty significant income stream that we had there. And they said, you can't do that anymore. So I said, okay, I can't do that anymore. What does this make possible? And I immediately started looking for what else am I going to do? What else am I going to do to replace that? Well, I've replaced that and more with some things that we're doing now that we were not doing then. But to go back to your original question, you know, have I had times that have just total disaster? Oh my gosh. Yeah, but it was really, my biggest disaster was before I discovered this amazing online world and the flexibility, the freedom, the open doors we can have, you know, in this space. It was when I had bricks and mortar businesses, and I had an auto accessories business. I had a health and fitness center. We had 4,000 members in that. And I made some decisions too quickly in that about membership structure and all, put myself in a really tough position, and ended up selling that business, the fitness center, at public auction. thought, well, I'd at least walk out with my nose clean, you know, just start something else, no big deal. Well, instead of walking out with my nose clean, the next day I woke up and realized that I was $430,000 in debt. Significant part of that, the IRS, of course, that doesn't go away if you get bankrupt. I didn't do that. I thought, I need to keep my word. I'm a man of my word. So I had to dig my way out of that. Yeah, there have been times when I've had some major crashes, but, you know, I'm one of these guys that I am one of those, you know, glass half full kind of guys. I mean, I'm always the optimist. I mean, I talk to people every day who are discouraged because, gee, no one's hiring. I'm like, oh my gosh, how can you walk down the street without having three or four ideas about things you could do, you know, to make money? So I've always been that kind of guy. You know, I'm going to come back with ideas. And frankly, some of those big bumps in the road, like there, you know, building bricks and mortar businesses, going through that amazing crash and the heartache and pain that was involved in that. And believe me, there was a lot of that. But it opened my eyes to these new kind of businesses that were developed and that we have available today. Wow. I would have never discovered this. If I'd been real successful in that, I'd still have those kind of businesses, which, you know, would be so much more stress and pain in the neck than what I get to do today.
Yeah, I've been there. It's interesting when people tell me, oh, this online thing, maybe I should just do a brick and mortar. And I'm, you know, like, really? You think that's going to be easier, huh?
Yeah. Golly. Yeah, the fluidity we have to change and try new things without having a big capital expenditure risk at the front end. I mean, my gosh, I mean, the business is, well, like the business with my mastermind, I mentioned that, you know, so 40 people paying $500 a month. I put $1,000 into that initially, you know, just to get, you know, our Facebook group set up, just a little back end website where we could communicate and that. I put $1,000 in that. After 30 days, I took my $1,000 back out, you know, put it in my pocket again. That was my investment in that business. And now it just continues, just month after month after month, to be, you know, profitable and fulfilling.
Yeah, but the overhead is so low in these online businesses. That's why, you know, I think most people don't realize what it takes. Because I had a coffee shop. Well, I had a few different things, but that one was one with the biggest overhead. The food that was getting bad, the insurance, the unemployment insurance, like workman's comp, like all these things added up. Like, you know, if I paid an employee $10,000 a year, it was $20,000 from my pocket. You know, like everything doubled. It was just insane. All of these, like the fire department would come by asking for insurances and like permits. And I was just like, this is insane. But
absolutely,
in the online world, you can set up a Facebook group and you're not paying anything.
Yeah, tell people, golly, I mean, we use Kajabi as kind of the back-end structure for our 40 Days Eagles community. And I don't even know what it is, but it's just a small monthly fee for that. But the power of being able to bring people into a community like that where you have recurring revenue is so unlike the risk of having a bricks and mortar business where every day you open up and hope people find you and walk in the door.
Very cool. Dan, we're hitting the time limit. I got another call coming up. So where can people find you? And thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you. Delighted to be your guest. 48days.com is an easy place to get a lot of resources, things we've talked about. Connect with my podcast there, the weekly newsletter and tips and that. And then 48daysEagles.com gives direct access to that community. That's probably the most exciting thing I've got going on. You know, I mean, it's exciting to me, Tom, because of what I see happening to people there. People that with a little bit of encouragement and support just absolutely skyrocketing what they're doing. I mean, we all need that. We need somebody to walk along and say, you can do this. So it's exciting to me, not because it's my biggest profit center, but because of the exciting things that I see happening there to launch people on their own success path.
Yeah, I agree. People need that motivation, you know, sometimes just someone that believes in them.
Absolutely. We all do.
Okay, thanks again, Dan, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.